الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين وقال تعالى فالله خير حافظا وهو أرحم الراحمين صدق الله العظيم وعن أبي العباس عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال كنت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما فقال لي يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك وإن اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك ورفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, this beautiful hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only was he cousin, but he's a cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but his maternal aunt, Maymuna radiallahu anha, was also the respected and beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we can understand from this that he had enjoyed a very close relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has narrated approximately 1,600 ahadith or narrations from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had passed away around about the age of 70 years old. Nevertheless, he says that I was a young lad seated behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the opportunity to teach me something. We know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a muallim. He was a teacher. Allah ta'ala describes the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم يتلو عليكم آياتنا ويزكيكم ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة. The Nabi of Allah was also a muallim. He was a teacher. And that individual who takes it upon himself to teach others in the true sense of the word, then their teaching is not restricted to a classroom. The one who is a teacher in the true sense of the word, then their teaching will not only be restricted to the classroom. In fact, they will find every opportunity to pass on to others, to teach others, to benefit others, to empower others, to upskill others. Hence Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the greatest of teachers. And yet he found a young lad, and he found an opportunity to teach this young lad seated on the conveyance. He said, O son, ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimatin. I want to teach you something. I'm going to teach you something. In fact, there is another narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we may think that the Nabi of Allah would restrict his teaching to deen, only teaching people deen, how to perform their salah, how to worship Allah, what their belief should be in Allah, how they should discharge their zakah, how they should fast in the month of Ramadan, how they should perform their hajj. But the reality is that the Nabi of Allah, his teaching was even related to matters in this world, mundane matters. This morning I came across a wonderful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Nabi of Allah was walking in the streets, and he saw a young boy skinning an animal. I remember in those days, they didn't have the fridges and the freezers and the cold rooms and the butchers that we have in today's times. People would generally slaughter the animal, skin the animal, cook the animal, and immediately, you know, the meat would be consumed. So skinning of animal was something which would happen continuously. So the Nabi of Allah saw this young boy skinning the animal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to this boy and said, oh my boy, let me show you how to do it. It is mentioned, as narrated in the authentic books of hadith, that the Nabi of Allah then began to skin this animal to such an extent that his entire arm up to the shoulder or the elbow had completely become embedded between the skin and the flesh of the animal. You know, as they say, that they have the fisting technique that is used when they skin. The Rasul of Allah was teaching this young boy how to skin, to improve his technique in skinning. And after Rasulullah ﷺ had completed this, he then said to the boy that this is how you should actually skin. Now, the Rasul of Allah could have said that, you know, this is not salah. This has nothing to do with deen. No, the deen is the most important thing. But this was a mundane task of skinning an animal. And the Nabi of Allah realized that this boy, I can upskill him. I can empower him. I can save him some energy and time. I can make the skinning so much more easier for him. And the Rasul of Allah then stepped in and assisted this young boy in upskilling himself, in empowering himself, in improving his technique of skinning the animal. Subhanallah. This was the Nabi of Allah, the greatest of all teachers, who took the opportunity to teach this young boy how to skin an animal. A mundane task. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, was seated behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat. I will teach you something. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now was inculcating within the heart of this child the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Ya ghulam, ihfadillah, yahfadka. We say that the young boy is hafidhul Qur'an. Alladhi hafidhul Qur'an min al-ibtida ila al-intiha. That this young boy has preserved, has protected. Hafidha, yahfadhu means to protect. One is memorizing the Qur'an and one is protecting the Qur'an. We generally give to the person who has memorized the Qur'an, we give him the title of hafidh. Huwa hafidhul Qur'an. He is a protector of the Qur'an. From this also we can understand that hifz of the Qur'an or memorizing of the Qur'an is not, you know, the end all of everything. But rather it is the preservation of the Qur'an in the heart. Preserving the laws of the Qur'an. Making the Qur'an a part and parcel of one's life. Memorizing the Qur'an, indeed it is a great task and it is a great achievement and it is a virtuous act. But greater than that is preserving the Qur'an in one's life. So this hafidha, yahfadhu, to protect. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ihfadillah, protect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, a person will say, how can I protect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is that being who doesn't require any protection whatsoever. Allah is the giver of protection. The one who is the giver of protection, how can I protect him? I am actually in need of his protection. So here, the ulama-i-kiram then step in and say, this is not what it means. Yani, ihfad awamir Allah. Ihfad ahkam Allah. That protect the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Protect the boundaries set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Protect those things which have been sanctified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Protect the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, we can now apply this in our lives. That we have got the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are directed to us. That Allah has commanded us, if we start in the morning, that you have to perform your salah. You have to fulfill the rights of your family, the rights of your wife, the rights of your children, the rights of your subordinates, the rights of one's parents. These are the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one's life. Allah has commanded you to be kind, to be generous, to be good. And Allah also has prohibited you from indulging in the X, Y and Z, that you are not allowed to consume alcohol, to consume intoxicants, to take drugs. These are all forbidden. Allah has prohibited you. These are the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the prohibitions of ihfaz. We protect these commands of Allah ta'ala. We are respectful that these are the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I should stay away from this. Allah has forbidden me from indulging in this activity or this action. Allah has commanded me to be honest. Allah has prohibited me from speaking lies. That when I am selling this product and I know that there is a defect, that I am clear that listen, this vehicle, I am selling you this vehicle, but it's got a gearbox problem. It's got a gearbox problem, but I think it could be resolved, but I'm selling it as is. If you are willing to buy this vehicle, knowing very well that there is a problem in the gearbox, and so be it. And there's some people, they hide it. And they hide it, they put a little bit of Q20 in the gearbox, and they say everything goes right. And after 10 kilometers, when the gearbox falls out, the person says, you bought it, you know, as they say, footstoots, as is. You don't come back and tell me anything. Put a plaster on there and carry on. So this is dishonesty. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, من غشنا فليس منا. That person who deceives us is not from amongst us. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking in the marketplace, and there was someone selling wheat, and there was a huge pile of wheat. And Allah ta'ala had sent wahi to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this person is deceiving the customers. The Rasul of Allah placed his hand at the bottom of the wheat and found that, discovered that there was wet wheat. In those days, if the wheat was wet, people would not want to purchase it. And not only that, the weight would be compromised, because now when the wheat is wet, it's heavier. And upon this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he who deceives us is not from amongst us. Be honest. This is the wheat that is in good condition. That wheat there has been soiled. You know, as they say, this is factory defects. These are reject goods. I'm selling it at a 50% discount, but it's a reject. You willing to buy it at that price? So be it. You are honest. You are clear. This is what we term as ihfadillah, protecting the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by you doing this, ihfadillah yahfadka, you will become a recipient of the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all want Allah ta'ala to protect us. And wallahi, when Allah ta'ala protects a person, then that person can be confident that he has the best form of security. Like when a person hires a, you know, personal security, or he hires a security guard, now he feels at ease. You know, I got the security guard outside. Alhamdulillah, I put my alarm system, you know, I've got the camera system. The person feels comfortable. He feels secure. He feels safe. He hired a good security guard. He got a good security company. You know, I got an escort. They're going with me, with my vehicle. And I'm safe and sound. You know. Allama Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh gives an example on a more light-hearted note. He says that, you know, you have the lions that we see around us. And sometimes the cub of the lion, it roams around. You know, it roams around. And sometimes the cub of the lion will even have the courage to provoke the hyena. So that cub will go and it'll provoke the hyena. Now obviously that hyena has the capability to tear that cub into pieces. But as soon as the hyena wants to retaliate, the cub says that no problem, you can go ahead. But you see right on top behind me, that's my father. He's the king of the jungle. So now the hyena will say, you know, never mind. But you need anything, any khidmat, kuch khidmat hai? Can I make any khidmat for you? Why? Why does that cub become so bold? Why does that cub become so confident? Because the cub knows that behind me I've got the king of the jungle. The king of the jungle will step in. He will be there to protect me. You know, he will be there to assist me. And his one roar will strike terror and fear into the entire jungle. So subhanallah, that person who has got Allah's protection behind him, can you imagine the sense of security, the sense of happiness, the sense of, you know, peace that the person, and tranquility and safety and comfort that the person will experience. May Allah ta'ala grant us this. But how can we get it? Ihfadillah yahfadka. You protect and preserve the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hold sacred the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will grant you His protection. You don't need to pay any deposit or do an EFT by a certain date. Just preserve the commands of Allah ta'ala and Allah will grant you His protection. And I mentioned that when Allah protects a person, Subhanallah, it is amazing. There was a brother, one musalli in our masjid many years ago. He said that, you know, the hijackers came to his vehicle. And right at his vehicle, they opened fire at him. And he mentioned to the alim there, he says, you know, Maulana, I have the habit, I usually keep my wallet in my pocket on the side. But for some reason, I don't know why, I put the wallet in the top pocket. And he says, my habit, I don't even keep coins in my wallet because it makes the wallet heavy. So I normally give out all the coins. For some reason, I had a coin in the wallet. For some reason, I put it. When the robber or the hijacker fired the shot, he fired it directly to the chest and the heart. And he said, what happened? That bullet hit that coin that was in the wallet. This is when Allah Ta'ala wants to protect someone. Allah Ta'ala will use a simple 1 rand or 50 cents coin to protect that person's life. And on the contrary, if Allah Ta'ala's protection is removed, the person can have the most elaborate security. Like many years back, there was one of the presidents of the United States of America, many years, I don't even remember his name. Now, you know the kind of protection they have, although nowadays the protection is being compromised, but nevertheless in those days, they had such protection, you know, the FBI and the Secret Service and that service and this service. But they say that the president almost died in the White House while he was eating a pretzel. He choked, and while eating the pretzel, he almost died. That Russian immediately medical intervention. But you can have the most elaborate security on the outside, but if Allah Ta'ala wants the person's life to be taken, it will be taken. And hence Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again brings to the attention of Abdullah ibn Abbas is ihfadillaha yahfadka. Ihfadillaha tajidhu tujak. Not only will you get the protection of Allah Ta'ala, that if you protect the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because both go together, tajidhu tujak, you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. And as the person I'm sending you ahead to sort out the matters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in front of that person, creating ease for the person, opening up the way for the individual. Like the person, sometimes we travel and we send, especially the high profile people, they send people ahead, you know, to create the way, open up the way. For example, if we take the example of the presidents, you'll find that when they are traveling in their convoy of vehicles, then you will find that there are vehicles in the front opening up the way and creating ease. Of course, Allah Ta'ala is not in any way, you know, in that sense that Allah, we are trying to diminish the might and this respect of Allah Ta'ala. But in other words, Allah will open up the way. Allah will use His servants to open up the way for this individual. Allah Ta'ala will put it in the hearts of people to create ease for this person, to open up the way for this person. Any challenging situation, we'll find that Allah Ta'ala will be there for that person. As the late Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah used to give the example, he says that sometimes the examiner sets a very challenging paper. It's very challenging. The person comes, he's going to write his paper, he sees the paper, he says, finish. I'm gone. I failed. I'd rather just consider another career completely. So he's got no hope now of succeeding. So now what happens? The examiner comes and steps in. He says, don't worry. All you do, you just put your hand in my hand and I will help you write this paper. Now what happens? All that fikr and that concern and that worry now turns into absolute ease. And the person finds that writing the paper becomes a breeze, if we may say. Absolutely easy. This is perhaps an example of ihfadillaha tajidhu tujahak. You will find Allah Ta'ala there for you. Allah will be there to assist and solve all your problems. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him. He said, and remember, Rasul of Allah is inculcating in this young boy. He said, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. And this is what we are reminding ourselves every single day, in every single rakat of every single salah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That thee alone do we worship, Ya Allah. And thee alone do we ask for help. So he said, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ. If you have to ask from someone, فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First put your problem before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any problem comes your way. To such an extent that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahaba was such that even if they needed a shoelace, they would turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then of course a person then uses whatever means there is at his disposal. The person will go to someone and ask for, you know, some assistance or a loan. But first he put his problem before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First he presented his case before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First he expressed his need before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. That if you have to ask anyone, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you have to seek help from anyone, seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is inculcating within this person, what if we may say, رَضَى بِالْقَضَى. And this firm belief in taqdeer, he said that, إِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ لو اجتمعوا على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك. That remember that if the entire ummah, the whole world, they have to gather together, they have to rally together to assist you in some way, to benefit you in some way. ألا أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك. They will only be able to benefit you as much as Allah has prescribed and ordained that they should benefit you. Only that which Allah wants to happen will happen. And on the contrary, if they have to gather together, عَلَىٰ يَضُرُّكَ بِشَيْءٍ, that they want to harm you in some way or the other. They want to harm you. They will not be able to harm you except that much which Allah wants them to harm. In other words, have this firm yaqeen that everything happens only with the will and with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, on this point as a side note, we need to understand that we are living in a world of means, and this does not mean that the person will not adopt the means that is at his disposal. The person will install the security system, the alarm system within his home. The person will put on the car alarm. But at the back of his mind, he knows that this system will not be able to benefit me only that much which Allah wants. Or this system, you know, will not be able to harm me except that which Allah wants. If Allah wants the security system to benefit me, it will benefit me. But if Allah does not want the security system to benefit me in any way, and if Allah in His hikmah knows that this must be taken away from me, sometimes for my own good, sometimes it is for the person's own good, then Allah will make it happen, and the security system will fail completely. So this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inculcated in another hadith which is not mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. Then there Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added this part. He said, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. That know that the help of Allah ta'ala comes when a person is patient. That help of Allah ta'ala comes when we are patient. Beautiful example comes to mind. That Allah ta'ala loves His servants. Like how sometimes the parent, you know, out of love for that little child, sometimes the father or the mother, they got the sweet in their hand, you know. And now they want their child to take that sweet. They bought the sweet for the child. And now they'll give the child the sweet and pull it back. And now the child will go, no, give it to me, give it. And until eventually sometimes the child even starts crying. And now when the child starts crying, that parent grabs the child and hugs the child and still gives the sweet to the child. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala, Allah's system is such that we don't just get things. We sometimes have to exercise our patience. We have to shed those tears before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala loves His servants. Allah loves His creation. And Allah has great deep-hearted love for His creation. Hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when those tears fall before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. It mentioned in the Quran Sharif that the people of the past, حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the hardships and the challenges. وَزُلْزِلُوا. They were shaken up to such an extent. حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. When is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming? Allah then responds, أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. The help of Allah is extremely close. It's like the example. The father is holding the sweet in the hand. It's there. It's for you. The help of Allah is for you. We need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ. And With every difficulty, with every hardship, there is an opening. There is a way out. Remember, Allah Ta'ala is not an oppressor. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ Allah will not oppress the servant in the least way. Hence we have to understand, كَلَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا Allah will never place a burden on any soul beyond its capacity. Yes, it may seem daunting, it may seem challenging, but وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ فَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرَبِ That with every hardship and difficulty, there is an opening. And then, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا That with every difficulty or a challenging situation or narrow situation, there is ease that will come out of this. In fact, in Surah Alam Nashrah, Allah Ta'ala mentions two yusr, two eases. And there ulama explained, there's a grammatical discussion that takes place. But with every difficulty, there are two eases, in fact. There is double ease. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this firm belief in Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first in every challenging situation, in every difficulty. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create ease for us. We will make dua. And this is what we should always make dua. That Ya Allah, grant me ease. Take me through the road of shukr. Do not take me through the road of sabr. Whilst we do understand that there are hardships and with every hardship there will be ease, we should say, okay, Ya Allah, I am extremely weak. I am very, very, impatient. I can't take difficulties. I can't take challenges. So I am saying, Ya Allah, that there are two roads to Cape Town. One is the garden route and one is the route through the Karoo. The Karoo is a very challenging route. It's very boring. It's hot. It's tiring. But then there's the garden route that's beautiful. Oh Allah, you take me to you and you create ease for me. Take me through the road of shukr. Do not take me through the road of sabr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the suffering of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala maintain within our country stability, security, safety and unity. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.